Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, May 23rd, 2021. I am reading on Thursday, May 27th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for May. Tom Green County as of May 26th from the city of San Angelo. 16,886 positive cases reported. 5 new positive cases. Deaths, 308. 199 from Tom Green County and 109 from other counties. 11 currently hospitalized, 51 active cases. Tom Green County has administered more than 74,074 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of May 25th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 2% from the previous week's tally of 72,454 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 30% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of May 25th. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention considers someone fully vaccinated 2 weeks after they've been given a single-dose shot, Johnson & Johnson, or a second shot, Pfizer or Moderna. Southwest Boulevard, road closure to begin June 1st, lasting 2 months, by Rosanna Frere, published May 26th. Work is scheduled to begin on the Southwest Boulevard low water crossing near McDonald's on Tuesday, June 1st, according to a news release. The work is scheduled to take approximately 60 days, pending any potential weather delays. During this time, access from the Loop 306 frontage road to Green Meadow Drive and the rest of Southland Boulevard will be closed. Access to the businesses will still be available from the frontage road. Southwest Boulevard will be open from Green Meadow Drive to Twin Mountain Drive. Stormwater improvements being made to the low water crossing include installation of the larger conveyance structures, raising the roadway 2.5 to 3 feet, and channel improvements from Southwest Boulevard to the Loop 306 frontage road, the release stated. The city asks that people observe traffic controls in this area, posted detour routes. Temporary traffic signals will be installed at the Twin Mountain Drive and Knickerbocker Road intersection to help facilitate the anticipated increase of traffic while this closure is in effect. This low water crossing has been a known problem for some time. Extensive flooding occurs in this area because of the current drainage system, resulting in damage to the roadway, according to the release. San Angelo Police investigating shooting death. From staff reports, published May 26th. A shooting victim was discovered by the San Angelo Police Department in the early morning hours of Wednesday, May 26th, according to an SAPD release. Police and paramedics responded to the 2400 block of North Lily Street at 3:24 a.m. Wednesday, where the subject was determined to be deceased upon their arrival. The victim was transported to Lubbock for an autopsy. This is an active homicide investigation, and no other information is available at this time, the release stated. One vehicle crash kills man, injures another outside Sonora, published May 26th from staff reports. A one-vehicle crash outside Sonora on Wednesday morning killed one man and injured another, according to a release from the Texas Department of Public Safety. At about 8:44 a.m., Wednesday, May 26th, a Ford F-350 pickup was traveling southbound on U.S. Highway 277, about 8 miles north of Sonora, when it drove off the right side of the road for an unknown reason, the release stated. The vehicle struck a concrete culvert, then traveled back across the roadway to the East Bar Ditch, where it rolled several times, ejecting the unrestrained passenger. The passenger, Kenneth Brian Greenwood, 34, of Fort Worth, was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver was transported to Lillian Hudspeth Memorial Hospital in Sonora with non-incapacitating injuries. Police state San Angelo man on bond picked up child out of state, sexually assaulted them. by Elena Edgen, published May 26th. An Oklahoma child, 14, reported being sexually assaulted, which led to the arrest of a San Angelo man on bond, record state. On April 9, 2021, Oklahoma sheriff's deputies interviewed a child who had been reported as a runaway days earlier. The child said a man picked them up from the child's house, then drove them to San Angelo, where the man sexually assaulted them, according to an arrest affidavit. San Angelo police met with the man, who then told them that he picked up the child in Oklahoma and sexually assaulted the child in San Angelo, record state. The man was on his third year of a five-year deferred adjudication sentence in a 2018 evading arrest case, according to online court records. Corey Handsome Clearman, 22, was arrested Monday on suspicion of sexual assault of a child. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $35,000 bond as of 8:15 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Details emerge on shooting at San Angelo softball field. Injured man hid children in closet. By Elena Edgen, published May 24th. Note, this is a developing story. More details will be provided as they become available. When a fight turned into gunfire Saturday at a San Angelo softball tournament, two injured people rushed to protect children in the area. Late Saturday, May 22nd, police received multiple reports of gunfire at the Texas Bank Sports Complex, 1615 Rio Concho Drive. Police said at least four people received minor injuries after bits of concrete and bullet fragments ricocheted from the ground and struck bystanders. A five-year-old child was injured in the neck, according to an arrest affidavit. As the chaos ensued, several teammates shielded an injured softball player. A maintenance worker opened a locked janitor's closet and shepherded children inside to safety. Document reveals attempts to stop fight ended in bystanders' injuries. Around 8:15 p.m., two women started arguing in the stands during a multi-league softball tournament, which included men's, women's, and co-ed teams, an arrest affidavit stated. Several men started to approach the fight to break it up, one of whom was River Subia, a field technician at the sports complex of nearly 5 years. Subia watched as one of the men pulled a gun from his waistband and shot the ground two or three times, record state. Next thing I know, he pulled a gun. I backed away by the time he shot the ground, Subia said. The concrete hit me in the neck. Subia rounded a corner where he saw several children clustered together. I ran around the corner to the janitor's closet and saw people trying to huddle up, Subia said. I opened the closet and put seven kids in there. One player, 40, went to get water when he heard the gunfire and immediately turned to shield a child. He felt a sharp burning pain in his left shoulder where shrapnel struck him, record state. Another player, also 40, started to approach the fight intending to help stop it when he got hit in the head by shrapnel. His teammates piled onto him to shield him from further injuries. The man who shot the ground fled the area and got rid of the gun before returning, according to witnesses. Officers with the San Angelo Police Department recovered the gun. He told officers he did fire at the ground to keep him and his friends from being jumped by other people in the fight, according to the arrest affidavit. Police later arrested Eliseo de la Cruz Rivera, 23, on suspicion of four counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released Sunday, May 23rd, on a $120,000 bond, according to online jail records. Everything is fine here now, said Subia, as he opened the complex's gates for a Monday practice. I'm fine, just a little shocked, but feeling a whole lot better. We'll probably have more officers patrol out here over the weekend. San Angelo to temporarily change method of disinfecting public water supply, from staff reports, published May 24th. The City of San Angelo's Water Utilities Department will change how it disinfects the public water supply from June 1st through the 30th, according to a city news release. The Water Department normally uses chloramine, a mix of ammonia and chlorine, to disinfect water. In June, the water department will only use chlorine, also known as free chlorine. The yearly temporary conversion from chloramines to free chlorine, a common practice for municipal water systems, ensures water safety in pipelines by ridding mains of residual microscopic organic particles that yields the highest quality of drinking water. Citizens may see more flushing of fire hydrants in June. Water lines with low flow must be flushed more often to keep free chlorinated water moving through the system. Free chlorine is a stronger disinfectant than chloramine. Water users may note a slight change in the smell, taste, and look of the water. This may include a chlorine odor and slight discoloration. Most symptoms should lessen after a couple of weeks. They do not affect the safety of the water. The water department encourages kidney dialysis patients to talk with their equipment supplier. Different equipment may have varying needs and require adjustments. The city has contacted local hospitals to alert them of the change. Some reverse osmosis systems are not designed to work with water that has free chlorine. Owners of RO systems should check their operation manuals or system manufacturers to ensure they will not be adversely affected by the change. The process most fish tanks have for removing chloramines from water should do the same with free chlorine and need no adjustments. Fish tank operators should confirm that with their equipment supplier. Pet stores have also been told of the conversion. The water department will monitor chlorine levels and water quality standards in the distribution system on a daily basis to ensure all regulatory standards are met. Frequently asked questions. Why is our water system making these changes to our disinfection process? Our water system normally uses ammonia and chlorine as the main means to disinfect water. Mixing these two chemicals forms chloramine, the most common disinfectant used in the United States for water systems that use lakes and rivers as their source. Occasionally, these systems must return to free chlorine as their disinfectant for a brief time to properly maintain the distribution system. Free chlorine works better than chloramine to control thin biofilms of organics and microbes that can build up in pipelines over time. This is a common preventative maintenance used by most water systems that use chloramine as their main disinfectant. When will this start and how long will it last? The conversion will start June 1st and last approximately 4 weeks. Will I need to do anything differently during this change? No action is necessary. You may drink and use your water normally. What changes to the water quality will I notice during this period? Initially, you may notice more of a chlorine taste and smell to your water, especially in showers and sinks. Water also may be slightly discolored in areas with low flows and water mains. These symptoms should lessen after a couple of weeks, but may be present, though less noticeable, during the four-week span. I have a fish tank. How will it affect my fish? We recommend you check with your equipment supplier. The process you have in place to remove chloramines in the water should also remove free chlorine. No change or adjustment should be needed. I've heard this can affect kidney dialysis machines. Is this true? We recommend you check with your equipment supplier. Different equipment may have different needs or adjustments. Will the city do anything to lessen the taste and odors we might experience during this change? Yes, the city will implement procedures to reduce effects as much as possible. However, changes will likely occur and may persist. We will monitor free chlorine levels throughout the system each day to ensure they are at the correct levels. You may also see more flushing of fire hydrants. Water lines with low flow must be flushed more often to keep free chlorinated water moving through the system. The Water Utilities Department does not like doing this during drought restrictions, but in some areas it will be required. Is there a possibility of free chlorine bleaching my clothes? Free chlorine is a stronger disinfectant than chloramine. Even though it may have more of a chlorine smell, the disinfectant residuals in the system may actually be lower than they are currently. We don't expect any problems with bleaching of clothes. If you have brand new clothes that have never been washed, you might wash them first in cold water to let their color set before using a hot water wash. Will this process improve the quality of my water once it is completed in 4 weeks? Typically, after a change to free chlorine and back to chloramine, less disinfectant is needed to maintain residuals in the distribution system. So if you are sensitive to the taste and smell of chloramine, you should see an improvement in water quality after the conversion. Is there a way to reduce or remove the chlorine taste and smell during this period? Yes, a carbon filter is effective at removing free chlorine taste and smell, as well as chloramines. If you have an existing carbon filter on your faucet, reverse osmosis system, or cartridge under the sink, these should remove any additional taste and odor during this period. These are available at local retail stores. Some are inexpensive and easy to install. Does the taste and odor from chlorine affect everyone the same? No. The taste and smell of chlorine in drinking water does not affect some people at all. Others with a higher sensitivity to smells could be affected. Free chlorine can give water a swimming pool smell. Whom can I contact with additional questions or concerns? Call the Water Utilities Department at 325-657-4300 for more information. Expansive city street repairs to start Monday in Bonham and Southland neighborhoods by Elena Edgen, published May 21st. A 2-week-long series of street repairs will kick off Monday, impacting the Bonham and Southland neighborhoods, according to a City of San Angelo news release. Starting at 8 a.m. Monday, May 24th, these roads will be closed as Andale Construction applies HA5 street coating to the following areas: Southland area, Ridge Crest to Walnut Hill, Canyon Rim to Stone Canyon, Canyon Rim to Southland Boulevard, Schifflera to Royal Oak, Grandview, Clearview, Scenic Vista, Champion Circle, a portion of Bentwood, Palms area. Once applied, these roads will not be accessible to residents for 24 hours. New streets will be worked on as the project progresses, ending on June 5th. Residents can receive text updates on the project by texting Asphalt to 77222 or visit ha5info.com/San Angelo for more information. People are asked to move their vehicles prior to 8 a.m. of the morning their street will be worked on. Any vehicles on the street during the application time will be towed, then placed in their original location after the road cures. The city will pay for all tows. The construction company will have a shuttle to take residents to vehicles during the project when needed. Residents should also turn off their sprinkler systems when their area will be worked on, as the treatment cannot be applied to wet roads. What is HA5? HA5 is a surface treatment that limits oxidative damage on asphalt from moisture and ultraviolet UV radiation, the release states. This treatment is ideal for roads with minimal wear and cracking. Utilizing this method is part of an effort to change the city's focus from a reactive repair-focused operation to a proactive preservation operation. Streets treated with HA5 versus seal coat are cleaner, quieter, smoother, and maintain their aesthetic black color for up to 8 years on average, according to the release. Up for a challenge? Eat the biggest burger in San Angelo to win cash, fame, and more. By Rosanna Frere, published May 20th. 4 pounds of ground beef, 1 pound of bacon, shredded cheese, green chili queso, vegetables, and a nearly 12-inch bun served with a pound of Fojos. If you can finish this burger plate at Fatty's Grill in an hour, it's free. If you finish the meal in under 30 minutes, you will also win a $100 cash bonus. The challenge doesn't have a name yet, according to a spokesperson with Fatty's Grill, but the first person to completely finish it can name it. We will probably put a picture of them on the wall, get them a shirt, the whole nine yards if they can finish it that fast, said Joe Pena, co-owner of Fatty's. We want to see somebody be able to complete that, but I think it's safe to say we have the town's biggest burger. The meal costs $59.99 if you don't complete the challenge. You can also order the meal for your family or basketball team. If you think about 4 pounds of meat, that'd be about 8 half-pound burgers. And a half-pound burger is big for anyone, Pena said. Essentially, this is a meal for 8 people. The bun is made by a local bakery, Los Gallos. I want to give a shout-out to the owner because I told him what I was wanting to do, so he made me this bun with sweet bread that is very delicious, Pena said. I didn't weigh the bun, but I would say it's about a pound, so the net weight of the whole burger is about 6 pounds. When the restaurant at 2402 Martin Luther King Boulevard announced the challenge on May 19, 2021, there was a challenger hours later. The kid did good, Pena said. He cut the burger into 4 pieces and ate the first 2 convincingly, but that third quarter got him. 2 other families ordered the meal on Wednesday as well. On our first day, we sold 3 of them, Pena said. I really didn't expect the buzz we are getting from this. We have 3,000 shares on Facebook and over 500,000 views. Pena said he thought San Angelo should have a food challenge to attract people. We didn't want to do a hot dog challenge because everyone does hot dogs. So I was thinking a giant burger to see how that would go and if it's been and it's been doing awesome. Man arrested after speeding again through San Angelo neighborhood at up to 120 miles per hour by Elena Edgen and Colin Murphy, published May 20th. Note, this is a developing story. More information will be released as it becomes available. A Miles man has been arrested after leading San Angelo law enforcement on a high-speed chase through residential areas, according to a news release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office was conducting a follow-up investigation on several recent burglaries and copper metal thefts, a release stated. Authorities found a man in the 700 block of North Buchanan Street who fled in a stolen vehicle. About 11 a.m., Thursday, May 20th, police scanner traffic indicated a high-speed pursuit entered southeast San Angelo. The pursuit went up to speeds of 120 miles per hour down Paint Rock Road and into nearby residential roads. At one point, the driver went down State Court Circle, where the vehicle stopped and the driver fled. The crash did cause damage in the 700 block, but reports on the scanner did not specify what was damaged. Deputies and police converged on the area, searching for Nicholas Medina, 37, from Miles, who had a felony warrant for evading arrest, according to scanner traffic. Around 12:30 p.m., officers found Medina hiding in a storage shed in the 100 block of Arlington and arrested him, a deputy confirmed. Medina previously fled officers, charged in thefts. This is not the first time Medina led officers on a chase through a residential area, according to court documents released Thursday. On April 6, 2021, police arrived to the Walmart on West 29th Street, where a person said they had had their vehicle stolen and had been burglarized. The person identified Medina, who just left a scrapyard after taking copper, according to an arrest affidavit. Officers found Medina driving away from Walmart and attempted to stop him, but he fled. Police found his vehicle in an alley near the 1800 block of North Street. A resident said someone tried to force entry into their home by kicking the front door, which caused significant damage, records state. Police searched the area but were unable to find Medina. He has been indicted for unauthorized use of a vehicle, 2 counts of theft of copper, and evading arrest. These charges in March and April, according to the indictment. The thefts and vehicle charges are state jail felonies punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The evasion charge has been enhanced to a second-degree felony punishable by up to 20 years in jail due to a prior conviction. In 2017, Medina was convicted of property theft over $30,000, but less than $150,000. He was sentenced to 5 years, but was released on parole in 2018, according to court documents. As of 2:30 p.m. Thursday, May 20th, Medina remains in the custody of the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office with additional charges pending, a news release stated. What to know about the San Angelo Man starring in The Bachelorette with Katie Thurston by Rosanna Frere, published May 20th. From Central High School graduate to recovering addict to an eligible bachelor, here's everything you need to know about the San Angelo Man starring in the newest season of ABC's The Bachelorette. Hunter Montgomery, 34, is one of 30 men hoping to find love with Katie Thurston in the 17th season of The Bachelorette, premiering Monday, June 7th on ABC. Montgomery is a father of two children and lives in Houston, Texas, where he works as a software strategist, according to ABC's website. However, Montgomery was born and raised in San Angelo. Natalie Montgomery, Hunter's older sister, said they attended all grade schools in San Angelo. Their parents have also been dentists in the town for more than 40 years. Hunter is 14 years sober from addiction, according to his sister. His journey to recovery was chronicled in a 2015 Standard Times article, which included his fellow Central High School football teammates. He is most known for his work helping recovering addicts in San Angelo. Hunter raised $6 million to start a recovery center called the Journey Recovery Center. A lot of families in San Angelo rely on Hunter for hope and placing family in rehab for addiction, Natalie said. He's also an interventionist and a big advocate for the Black Lives Matter movement. He's just a wonderful human, loving man, and father. Hunter says he will never stop believing in romance, according to ABC. ABC called after finding Hunter on popular TikTok app. He hopes to find someone to stare off into the stars with for the rest of his life. So let's see if he and Katie can go the distance, the website states. Natalie said she originally nominated her brother for the show, but never heard anything back. Months later, ABC called Hunter after finding him on TikTok. I'm not sure if they ever saw my recommendation for him, but they found his TikTok where he talks about addiction, Natalie said. He has a large social media following and keeps it lighthearted, but supports people with addiction on TikTok. He's so captivating and animated, so they were drawn to him. It's hard not to be. Natalie said Hunter would be one of the most eligible bachelors on the show and already has watch parties planned to see Hunter on the big screen. I've already seen him make out with someone in a preview of the show, so there's that, Natalie joked. It'll be really cool to see him on TV. We're really excited. Natalie is hoping that since her brother has a shot at love, she can too through his outlet. I am single, so that's my angle, she laughed. Maybe we can find me a match too, since Hunter is getting a chance. San Angelo woman arrested Thursday in second police pursuit of the day. Driver still missing. By Elena Edgen, published May 20th. A San Angelo woman became the second person arrested after two pursuits raced through the city Thursday, according to a Tom Green County Sheriff's Office news release. Nearly 2 hours after a Miles man was arrested in a high-speed chase through East San Angelo, another chase kicked off on Bryant Boulevard. About 2:23 p.m., Thursday, May 20th, a deputy attempted a traffic stop in the 3,000 block of North Bryant Boulevard. As the deputy approached the vehicle, it accelerated and fled, according to the release. At one point in the pursuit, the driver stopped in the 3700 block of North Bryant Boulevard, and a passenger left the vehicle and fled on foot. The vehicle continued to flee, evading law enforcement, who eventually discontinued the pursuit. They later found the vehicle abandoned in the 2600 block of Jomar Street, but could not locate the driver. Law enforcement later found the passenger, Guadalupe Vargas, 35, who was arrested on suspicion of 12 city warrants and going off bond for theft of a firearm, unauthorized use of a vehicle, and possession of a controlled substance. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center with no bond listed as of 5:15 p.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. There is no known current threat to public safety from this chase, according to the release. Boom! Lake Nasworthy will have its 4th of July fireworks show for San Angelo in 2021, by John Tufts, published May 20th. Over the phone, Ray McKim's voice lit up with the same energy as a Roman candle when he confirmed the annual fireworks show at Lake Nasworthy was back after a one-year hiatus. "This is definitely happening," McKim said Thursday, May 20th. McKim, who serves as president of the Lake Nasworthy Homeowners Association, says there's enough support, enough money, and no pushback from local officials to fizzle out the return of fireworks at the lake. Last year, the annual event was canceled during the COVID-19 pandemic, in which Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued a statewide mandate in 2020 for Texans to begin wearing masks in order to limit the spread of the virus. The mandate followed previous orders to limit large gatherings of people. McKim said he also received an impassioned plea in 2020 from city manager Daniel Valenzuela, who expressed concern from the community after they saw a spike of 40 COVID-19 cases and then a single-day record for positive cases in the area. "Things are different this year," McKim said, who shared an email with the Standard Times from Valenzuela, which reads as follows. "In light of the recent lifting of the mask mandate by the governor, the city will not be asking the LNHOA to forego or cancel the 4th of July fireworks show. Personally, I look forward to its return, as do many of our citizens," the email stated. July Pops concert in San Angelo canceled, but the show will go on. Here's how to watch it, by Elena Edgen, published May 19th. The San Angelo Pops concert will go another year without the downtown celebration, in part due to lack of funding. But the show will go on for 2021, according to a San Angelo Symphony news release. On Wednesday, May 19th, a spokesperson for the symphony stated the July 3rd Pops concert will not be in person this year. The late timing of the CDC's ease on COVID-19 guidelines and the loss of critical sponsorship funding led to the decision, according to the release. While the symphony has successfully worked over the past 14 months to adapt and provide virtual access to live music and music education, in addition to our regular digital 2020-2021 concert season, the unpredictable nature of the pandemic has created a level of uncertainty that will follow us into the 2021-2022 concert season, said Courtney Mahaffney, executive director. Despite these difficulties, the show will continue for July 3rd, 2021, via broadcast. The concert will be shown at 6:30 p.m. at KLST, KSAN, and the City of San Angelo's public channel. The broadcast will feature the usual patriotic music, photos from previous Pops moments, and a special guest artist, Haley Sicking. The symphony has started planning for the 2022 Pops, which is expected to be in person, according to the release. "We are looking forward to continuing the music in the concert hall and welcoming our patrons back to the Murphy for live and in-person performances during the 2021-2022 season," said Hector Guzman, maestro. If people have questions, the San Angelo Symphony's office can be reached at 325-658-5877. Two San Angelo residents charged after about 1,400 grams of THC and guns found at home, by Elena Edgen, published May 20th. Two San Angelo residents, both 23 years old, have been arrested after a search warrant led to cash, guns, and THC, according to a police news release. On Wednesday, May 19th, police used a search warrant at a residence in the 1700 block of South Van Buren Street. The search revealed approximately 400 grams of THC products, cash, and guns, according to the release. Two residents of the home, both 23, were subsequently arrested on suspicion of manufacture delivery of a controlled substance, THC, and misdemeanor possession of marijuana. Allison Maxine Fly and Jared Landon McGuffin remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $51,000 bond as of 10:45 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Austin man faces federal charges after crashing car with migrants in Sutton County, by Elena Edgen, published May 19th. An Austin man has been federally charged after leading law enforcement on a chase in Sutton County, which ended in a crash and three people injured on Saturday, according to a news release from the Northern District of Texas. Minutes after 9:30 a.m. Saturday, May 15th, law enforcement attempted to stop a Chevrolet Silverado pickup full of undocumented immigrants for speeding in Sutton County. An officer called for backup, which is when the driver sped away through Sonora and onto Interstate 10. A chase ensued for nearly 8 minutes, ending when the pickup crossed several medians and rolled over. The release stated 10 of the passengers were from the Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. During the crash, a woman and two men received life-threatening injuries, according to the federal complaint. They have been stabilized, according to the release. Austin man accepted offer for $25,000 to transport people across Texas. Law enforcement arrested the driver, Adrian Vargos Ladinos, 20, of Austin. He initially told officers he was merely helping a few immigrants he had encountered in Eagle Pass during a visit to a friend, records state. He could not recall the friend's name. Vargos Ladinos later told investigators a smuggler offered him $25,000 to transport the people to Austin. His cell phone confirmed he was involved in human smuggling, according to the release. He received directions from the smuggler to an abandoned house in Eagle Pass, honked the horn, and allowed the undocumented immigrants into his truck. Then he drove them around a Border Patrol checkpoint in Eagle Pass, records state. When Vargas Ladinos realized he was being pulled over, he told the passengers in the cab to run after the crash, according to a passenger's statement. Vargas Ladinos told investigators he felt sorry for the injured passengers, but he told them to run away to Austin so he could get paid, according to the release. Two of the 10 illegal immigrants, a Guatemalan citizen and an El Salvador citizen, told Border Patrol agents the group had crossed the U.S.-Mexico border around midnight the day prior near Piedras Negras, Mexico. The men paid about $6,000 each in their countries for transport. Vargas Ladinos has been federally charged with transportation of illegal immigrants and evading arrest in Sutton County. If convicted, Vargas Ladinos could face up to 20 years in jail for the transportation charge and a maximum of 10 years for evasion. Multiple groups of law enforcement, including Homeland Security investigations and U.S. Customs and Border Protection, assisted in the investigation. The Sutton County Jail has not released the arrest photo of Vargas Ladinos as of noon, Wednesday, May 19th. City of San Angelo Recreation Department looks forward to return to normal, by Brent Casey, City of San Angelo, published May 17th. Getting back on track in the world and for recreational activities is something we have all been looking forward to for a while. We were very pleased with Date Night 2021, and we were very happy to see parents and their kids enjoying the time together. Tickets sold out for the Monday father-daughter event, and we received many compliments for having the event outside at the River Stage. More than 350 attended the mother-son night, Again, many compliments and only one complaint that it was too cold. The weather was a concern, but it did hold off. I am also very pleased to mention youth baseball tournaments came back to San Angelo. We had 102 teams in San Angelo playing ball April 17th and 18th. It was a great tournament, and everyone was very pleased with the condition of the fields, and we're all just all around happy to have baseball back in San Angelo. The tournaments are a great thing for our city, bringing a major economic impact to us and our local businesses. We have more tournaments scheduled throughout the summer. Moving on to the future, we are still concerned about the safety of our participants in everything we do. We will continue to sanitize and have hand sanitizers available where possible. We have approval to host the Recreation Summer Track Club. This is a great thing each summer that goes from the littles at age 4 all the way to 18 years. Registration began April 1st and will continue through June 25th. Practices will begin June 1st from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday at the San Angelo Stadium. Practice is not mandatory to attend every day of the week, but it is an option if interested. We typically have many individuals from our track club move on to the Summer Games of Texas, which will be held in Corpus Christi for 2021. Recreation Senior Services continue to move forward with our plan to reopen the facilities. Currently open during the temporary hours are exercise classes, the workout room, art club, and a drive-through lunch option for seniors registered with our nutrition program. Visit cosatx.us/seniors for a complete schedule. We will move forward with getting the facilities open and back to normal as soon as we feel it is safe for all to do so. Summer is always hot in West Texas, so your municipal pool is always a great place to cool off. We have refurbished the slides and the water features for the 2021 season and are looking forward to opening weekend scheduled for May 29th through the 31st. We will once again be offering flick and float movies at the pool, so be checking our website for dates and movie information. The pool is also available for private parties. How cool is that to rent the entire pool for your birthday parties? The rates are $250 for a two-hour party with a $100 refundable deposit. We're very excited about so many things coming up this summer. Please watch the City of San Angelo, Texas City Government Facebook page. If you have not liked the page, please do so now so you're up to date on things your Recreation Division offers throughout the summer. Brent Casey is the Recreation Manager for the City of San Angelo. Contact him at brent.casey@cosatx.us or phone 325-657-4450. Time for new leadership. San Angelo ISD Lenny Lehman steps down as school board president. By John Tufts, published May 18th. School board trustee Lenny Lehman has stepped down from his leadership role as board president of San Angelo ISD, a position he's had for several years. Lehman made the announcement after a nearly three-hour school board meeting Monday, May 17th, 2021, in which trustees recognized the accomplishments of San Angelo ISD students who earned top honors in sports, academics, and fine arts over the past school year. Lehman plans to continue serving on the school board as a member at large for the district. His term won't expire until 2023. During an interview with the Standard Times, Lehman said his decision to step down as president was made to give other trustees the opportunity to lead. "I've been the president a long time, 18 years, I think, and I think we need to make a transition in new leadership. It's nothing more than that," Lehman said. Lehman announced Max Parker had agreed to serve as the next board president for the San Angelo Independent School District. Trustee member Bill Dindle will move from board treasurer to vice president. Dr. Taylor Kingman will serve as the new board treasurer. Jared Gallegos will remain as board secretary. This is an opportunity to show the skills of other board members, Lehman said. We've got a great board team, and I'd like to feature them more in the public so they know what great public servants we have. Joining the school board for the first time Monday night was Lupita Arroyo, who ran unopposed to replace single member two trustee Art Hernandez. Arroyo took her oath of office in front of Judge Carmen Dusek, along with recently re-elected trustee members Dendel, Kingman, and Amy Mizell Flint. In looking back over his more than 20 years on the school board, Lehman said he was most proud of the professionalism he's witnessed by his fellow trustees and their passion for education. It's amazing how many school boards struggle because they can't get along. They overstep their roles, or they get too far into the weeds, or they've gotten elected because they have an axe to grind, Lehman said. Our board is not like that. We have a school board that gets along, that respects our administrators, and that cares about our students, which is most important, to have as qualified of board members as we have. I'm really proud of that, Lehman said. New city council member Larry Miller sworn into office. Here's what he wants to contribute. By John Tufts, published May 18th. Shortly after being sworn into office on a rainy Tuesday morning, Larry Miller addressed the issues he wants to solve while serving on San Angelo City Council for District 6. I think the current city council is facing a serious problem that the roads and the infrastructure was ignored for so long, and I know they're fighting hard to correct the situation that's out there, Miller said Tuesday, May 18th. Miller stated he was motivated to run for city council after living a life of service, having spent 30 years in the United States Air Force, followed by a 10-year stint in teaching. The first one, I was essentially serving my country, and in the second, I was serving a community. City council is really an extension of that, he said. Miller won election after defeating incumbent Billy DeWitt, receiving 896 votes, to her 635 votes. He credited his win in an earlier interview with the Standard Times to his team's old-fashioned style of campaigning, which included phone calls and knocking on doors. On Tuesday, DeWitt was applauded and praised for her 4 years on city council during a special agenda item. I want to thank you for your service and for all you have done on city council, said San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter, who called DeWitt a great spokesperson for the people in her district. DeWitt, who received a plaque from the city, thanked officials, her supporters, and city staff for all their hard work in running a municipality of more than 100,000 residents. People really fall into three groups: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened, she said. I can honestly say that this council that I served with are a group of people who made things happen. It was my great honor to serve with you, DeWitt said, turning to address each of her colleagues on city council. During an interview Tuesday, while Miller credited DeWitt and other city officials for tackling infrastructure problems in San Angelo, he said more work is needed to be done to fix the city's crumbling roads. Miller campaigned heavily on working to repair streets, calling them a threat to future economic growth. Despite earlier objections to a proposed interstate expansion through San Angelo, in which Miller stated it could lead to an increase in drugs and criminal activity from the border, he appeared excited by the city's potential growth. I think it's a very bright future for San Angelo, Miller said Tuesday. We've got a rail port coming in. There's talk of two interstates. This area is going to grow astronomically. We can either let progress roll over the top of us, or we can deal with it as it comes, and I think that's what I want to contribute, Miller said. A giant clock is coming to downtown San Angelo at no cost to taxpayers. Here's where. By John Tufts, published May 19th. As efforts to revitalize downtown San Angelo continue with new landscaping, sidewalks, and streetlights, visitors to the area will soon see something else novel, a giant clock. On Tuesday, May 18th, the San Angelo City Council approved construction of a Washington four-dial street clock under its consent agenda. Council members authorized City Manager Daniel Valenzuela to negotiate a licensing agreement, allowing a private entity to install the clock within a street right-of-way. The project is privately funded by One West Concho LLC, represented by San Angelo businessman Lee Pfluger, and will have no cost to San Angelo taxpayers, city documents stated. At 16 feet 7 inches in height, the clock will stand in the public right-of-way at the northwest corner of South Chadburn Street and West Concho Avenue with the address of 231 South Chadburn. The design of the clock was approved by the city's Design and Historic Review Commission in April 2021. Other improvements to the downtown area include the following: concrete street reconstruction, ADA accessible sidewalks, traffic signal replacement, pavement markings and signage, street lighting, landscaping, storm drains, utility adjustments, a large ADA ramp structure to connect the Chadburn Street corridor to the Concho River Trail system. Clothing left at 2008 San Angelo homicide leads to two arrests. Details emerge. By Elena Edgen, published May 14th. Over a decade after a San Angelo father-to-be died, the case quickly heated up with two arrests in 17 days. Court documents released Thursday revealed new details about what led to the death of Jordan Holden in 2008. About 1:10 a.m. July 20th, 2008, a man sat on his front porch in the 2500 block of West Beauregard Avenue as a dark-colored sedan rolled past his house and parked nearby. Two men left the car, and at least one put on a dark cap or ski mask-type head covering, according to the resident's testimony to police. About 12 minutes later, police arrived in the 2500 block of West Harris Avenue after the resident heard gunshots. Four friends, one of whom lived on Harris Avenue, had returned from a night out. The homeowner knew they could not enter through the front door since the key had broken off in the lock, records state. He went through a front window and met two intruders, according to the affidavit. The homeowner yelled a warning to the others, and two of the friends entered through the front window. Both of the friends met gunfire, and one shot struck Jordan Holden in the abdomen, records state. The soon-to-be father died at Shannon Memorial's Center Emergency Room. His girlfriend was 3 months pregnant at the time. The two men ran out the back door, and the Beauregard man saw the same men enter the sedan and flee toward Angelo State University, according to court documents. The case heated up about 12 years later after police charged Patrick Stewart Jr., 32, of Katy, in connection to the homicide. Just 17 days later, police arrested Raymond Andrew Lee Rice, 32, in Allen. Jordan Holden had a child on the way when he was murdered, said Frank Carter, SAPD chief of police, in an April news release. We cannot give that child his father back, but we hope this arrest brings peace and closure to the family. Clothes left at house lead to arrests 12 years later. Investigators believed the intruders entered through a back window, which had been damaged. The intruders also left behind a black toboggan and a black Nike shoe, records state. Officers took the clothing for DNA testing and received an indirect match from a man with a 20-year-old son at home at the time. In November 2016, investigators received and executed a search warrant to get a sample of the son's DNA. The DNA was over 34 quadrillion times more likely to have come from Stewart than anyone else, according to the affidavit. In 2008, Stewart had attended Angelo State University and worked at a car wash. On June 28, 2008, a man took his vehicle to the car wash and later noticed his Kel-Tec 380 disappeared from his car. The man told police the gun was loaded, and bullets matching the gun were used in the shooting, according to court documents. Stewart was working the day the gun went missing, records show. And now here is Allison Watkins' column. West Texas gardens require tough plants for heat and cold. Published May 21st. West Texas is a challenging environment to grow landscapes and gardens. It's important to start with the best possible plants that are well matched to each particular planting site. Full sun versus shade, well-drained soil versus heavy clay soil, and irrigation water quality and quantity should all be top considerations. We have long been focused on finding and promoting heat-tolerant plants that can handle West Texas summers. But this year, we remembered how cold it can get as well. We need tough plants, and there are many great choices and options. It just takes a little extra effort to research and select the best plants to have success. Many homeowners lost trees, shrubs, and perennials in the winter storm and are wondering if they should replant the same thing or pick something more cold-hardy. There is no single right answer. Every landscape is different, and there's nothing wrong with replanting pittosporums and Indian hawthorns if that's what is wanted. But one recommendation I do have is consider not replanting Arizona ash trees. They have long been considered an undesirable species for West Texas since they are short-lived and tend to have various issues. Trees are a big investment of time, money, and effort, and should hopefully be around for a long time. Choose trees that can best handle the extremes of West Texas, like bur oak, chicopin oak, and cedar elm. When choosing plants, it's usually not enough to just look at the plant stake at the nursery. Try to research and choose specific plants and go looking for those plants. A plant may be labeled as needing full sun, but most full sun plants can appreciate a little afternoon shade in West Texas when it's so hot in the summer. Zone numbers on the plant labels refer simply to cold hardiness, and they don't tell a full story of whether the plant can handle the heat, alkaline soil, and other specific conditions. Check out local city parks and gardens. Be observant when driving through the neighborhood, and ask friends about what plants do well for them. Check out the Earth Kind Plant Selector at https://eKPS.tamu.edu to get some ideas of what to plant. Also, try plants that are labeled as Texas Superstars by Texas A&M. They have been tested throughout the state and are readily available at most nurseries and garden centers. The newest Texas Superstar plants designated this year include Celebrity Tomato, Rock Rose, Black Stocking Napier Grass, and BBQ Skewers Rosemary. Visit https://texassuperstar.com to see the full list of plants. For more tips and info on successful landscaping in West Texas, join us on Saturday, June 12th for a free seminar on landscape irrigation and water conservation. For more info, visit https://tomgreendocagrilife.org. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.